One day, Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready! Get ready!
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the NTEB House Church Sunday service. My name is Pastor Jeff Greider, and we're very, very glad to have you here. Today's message, In Awe of Thy Word, a loving defense of the King James Authorized Version 1611 Holy Bible. Yesterday, we published another article in our ongoing series of comparing the King James Bible to other modern translations. In this case, we took on the New King James Bible. For many, many Christians, this article was a welcomed blessing and a timely reminder of the book on which we have cast our faith. But for a near equal number of professing Christians, our article raised up bitterness, strife, and objections. How can this be? What a great time to get back to the old paths and our first love. Psalms 119, verses 161 and 162. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Today in our Sunday service, I want to give you a love letter that has been 31 years in the making, a message on the awesomeness, strength, power, and beauty of God's preserved word as found in your King James Bible. There may or may not be deep theological truths that get revealed today. I hope there is, but honestly, that's not my intention. My intention today is to remind you of the amazing gift that God gave you when he published his seven times purified word, the word of a king, that is the King James Bible. Today's sermon is not so much about exposing the errors of the modern versions, plenteous though they may be, but about lifting up God's preserved word to the same degree that he lifts it up to. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for waking us up today. We thank you, Lord, for the food on the table, the clothes on our back. We thank you for the roof over our head. And most of all, we thank you for your word. Psalm 119:89 says, Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Psalm 138:2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And Father God, today we thank you for that word purified, preserved, tried and proven to be 100% pure, trustworthy, and accurate. And Father God, we just come before you, and we thank you, we praise you, we commit this time to you, and we do all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome everybody. Glad to see you here today. Nice to have a full house for the Sunday service at the new time of 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I don't know about you, but it's a much better time for me, and from the vast majority of you have told me it's a much better time for you guys as well. And let me just give a little bit of a plug for the bookstore. There is a book by Gail Ripplinger called In Awe of Thy Word, and I'm not really going to be quoting from that book this morning, but I borrowed the title because obviously that's from Psalms 119. But we should be in awe of his word. And you know, one reason why we're not is because we don't understand what a blessing it is that we can have the inspired, inerrant, infallible, preserved word of God, the Holy Scriptures. We've kind of gotten to the point where we just take it for granted. Oh, yeah, that's just my King James Bible. I have a couple of those and haven't opened it up lately. But, yeah, I love that Bible. And when you really begin to read that Bible and get into that Bible, and then you look around you and you see the level of deception that is taking place about the Bible and how Satan has raised up hundreds of Bible versions, all competing with each other, all in conflict with each other. I was talking to Jack McElroy when we had him on the podcast a couple of months ago, and I asked him, I said, hey, brother, can you tell me the one thing that all Bible versions, including the King James Bible, have in common? And I think I kind of stumped him. He said, no, I can't think of what all of the versions, including the King James Bible, have in common. And I said to him that the one thing that they all have in common is that they're all different. Every single one of those Bibles is different. The King James Bible is much different from the New King James Bible. The NIV and ESV are similar, but they are quite different. The Message is different from the NIV and the Passion and the Cipher Bible and MacArthur's new heretical work, the Legacy Standard Bible. On the podcast on Friday, we talked about the Eco Bible. Man, what a mess. What an absolute mess. And even as King James Bible believers, sometimes we take it for granted that we have the word that came down from heaven. You know, the Bible says, and I read you this the scripture earlier, Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And that is absolutely true, but did you stop to realize in Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7, that word has to be purified in a furnace of earth, not a furnace of heaven? Yes, God's word is forever settled in heaven, but even though that we're right now seated in heavenly places, our body is still down here on the earth. Having a word that is settled in heaven doesn't do you much good if you're living down here on the earth. So I don't want to get ahead of my message for today, but the first thing, the first little nugget that I want to give you is that God's word is settled forever in heaven, and it has been purified seven times and tried in a furnace of earth down here, where you and I and 8 billion other people just happen to be spending some time. And that is the beauty of God's word. But if you have the other versions, that beauty gets erased. It gets diluted. It gets watered down. It gets nullified. So one of the things that we've done at the bookstore, we created a category called Defending the King James Bible. And there's a lot. I don't know how many books we got there now, maybe about 18 books. And every single one of these books is a grand slam, walk-off, home run. And if you haven't been to the bookstore lately, I highly advise that you go to the bookstore and you go to our King James Bible section and you check it out. And these books, like New Age Bible Versions, Why I Believe the King James Bible, In Awe of Thy Word, Bible Version Secrets Exposed, What Bible Would Jesus Use? You've got to read some of these books and you got to check it out. And that's the reason why we have a bookstore. You know, we don't make a lot of money at the bookstore. We've given away over 90,000 Bibles. So you tell me how much money we're making. We're not making that much money, but we're not trying to make money. It's a ministry. I'm not trying to show a profit. I'm trying to give you profit spiritually. And these books that we put in the bookstore, I'm telling you, every single one of these books, any one of these books, will drastically increase your faith in the King James Bible. So go to BibleBeliever.com, check it out, and especially go to the section called Defending the King James Bible, and I promise you it will be a blessing to you. From time to time, people will they'll write me a letter, they'll write me a note, they'll call me up, and they'll say, I have been so blessed by your Bible studies. How did you ever come to learn so much about the Bible? Well, because I have a copy of God's preserved word, I believe it, I open it up, and I read it on a daily basis. Now, I'm not bragging on myself at all. If you know me, I'm not that type of person. I probably watch more YouTube videos than I read the Bible, just being honest. But I do read the Bible multiple times a day, every day. And when I do read the Bible, in just about 10 out of 10 times, I am reminded that having the King James Bible accessible where I can get a hold of it is an unbelievable blessing. And over these past 31 years of being saved, I have watched dozens and dozens and dozens, and maybe hundreds, but I can definitely say dozens of people who used to be King James Bible believers. I've one by one, I've watched them fall by the wayside. And when you lose your faith in the fact that God has preserved his word, you know, one reason why the King James Bible excites me, it excites me because I understand that this is God's preserved word. It is not a Bible. It is not a translation. It is not a version. It is God's preserved word. And one of the prayers that I pray on a regular basis, and you can ask my friend Craig, because we've talked about this multiple times before, you know, if the Lord tarries, just about everybody's going to drop by the wayside. And so part of when I pray, and maybe I don't pray the same way that you pray, maybe I, you know, pray in a style that some people might think to be rather unusual, but I do most of my praying when I'm driving in the car by myself and I have a running stream of conversation with God, just like he was sitting next to me. That's how I pray. And one of the things that I pray for myself, I won't say on a daily basis, but multiple times per week, I pray, God, don't let me lose my faith in that King James Bible. Because once you sign off on the idea that they're all equal, they're all the same, one's not better than the other, and then you can look at the different versions and see the errors and see the mistakes, Does that give you faith? Does that give you confidence? If you were on your deathbed and you were moments away from heading out into eternity, would you want somebody reading to you from the NIV Bible? I wouldn't. I wouldn't want that at all. I don't want those errors, those mistakes, all that junk. I want God's preserved word. I want God's clean word. I want a word that I can step out into eternity knowing that that word is going to hold me up. And I said I didn't want to get into my message, but I'm already into the message. But you see where we're going to go today. Today, Lord willing, I want to give you a love letter about a book called the King James Bible. And I'm going to talk about how I found it and what a friend it's been to me. And you might say to me, well, hey, brother, aren't you kind of mixing up that book and Jesus Christ? Isn't Jesus Christ the friend that sticketh closer than a brother? Yeah, he absolutely is. But let me ask you this question. Without that King James Bible, I never would have met Jesus Christ. I was in Catholic school for 12 years. I was baptized I was sprinkled as a baby. I was confirmed. I had First Holy Communion. I was an altar boy for 3 years. I went to 8 years of private Franciscan school. I went to 4 years of private Jesuit and Franciscan school. And in all that time, I never met Jesus Christ that I was aware of one time. Never met the Holy Spirit one time. It wasn't until I opened up that King James Bible that I met the Lord and I got saved. So today, if the Lord be willing, and if I'm able to get the message that's in my head and in my heart out my mouth, I think it's going to be a pretty good message because we're going to lift up. We're going to lift up. How's this for heresy? We're going to lift up the Bible higher than the name of Jehovah. We're going to lift up the Bible higher than the name that is above all names, Jesus Christ. How's that for heresy? How's that for Psalm 138:2? For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. That's where we're going to go today. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so glad that God has given us this place where we can meet together. I'm so glad to be saved and serving and to be on the front lines. And no matter how many times I've messed it up, God said, well, I'll get you through anyway. I sealed you onto the day of redemption. The Bible says he is faithful and he that is called you will do it. And I just thank him and praise him for his goodness and his mercy today. Very, very glad that you are here with us.
Go! die on a cross for crimes he had done. The thief was guilty, everyone could see. But his destiny was changed as he looked at Christ and said, "When your kingdom comes, remember me." Said, "Friend, how did you come? What are the deeds you have done?" With tears in his eyes, I can hear him reply, "There are no merits to my name, no works that I can claim. He who brought me here told me to stay." The price I know he paid. By his grace I too can say,
tuning in, we're going to be getting started with our prayer and praise time right after this.
When man sinned in the garden, that sin Jehovah could not condone. The blood shed of animals could not forever sin atone.
But the Son had compassion. He said, Father,
it's been 3 days since heaven watched their Prince of Glory die. His followers are in mourning, for in the tomb their Savior lies.
But
thank you, Lord, for the blood. And this morning we come before you, Father God, and we lift up our prayers and our praise and our petitions unto you. And Lord, we're going to ask you to work and move. And if you don't do it, it won't get done. If you don't give it to us, we won't have it. Your word says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, today we pray for Patrick, who is newly saved, and he's experiencing spiritual attacks. And he's trying to get off of booze, cigarettes, and lottery tickets. And we just pray for strength for Patrick this morning. Lost souls, people who need to get saved. Sarah, Eric, Becky Jacobs, Greg and Melissa Price, Glenn Clark, multiple members of Jeanette's family, Trevor, Derek, Adam, and Roland Carrier and their families. My three brothers, John, Jimmy, and David, Jesse and his mom, Rachel's dad, Ralph, unsaved Catholic family members of the Bolton family, Colby Bohan, Jordan Long, David Peck, Susan Weirs Bickey is praying for daughters Valerie and Marie, and son and husband both named Greg. Kentucky Jeffrey is praying for Tyler Tevin, daughter-in-law Caitlin and grandsons Logan, Ronnie, and Russell. Jeanette and Bob from Wisconsin have unsaved Catholic family members. Connie has three unsaved kids. Joshua Gaskins and wife April asking prayers for Stephanie, Michael, and for Uncle Steve. Brandy is praying for her family salvation. Rita praying for Dan. We have two men named Ron that need to get saved. Spray of Sunshine praying for Daniel, Patrick, and Brian. Shannon's is praying for Lori W. and Brian M. David Lacker has to get saved. Barbara is praying for Robert, Naomi, Blake, Alex, Ethan, Raquel, Janet, and Chandel. Nicole Zimmer, she's praying for her best friends and her family. Cheyenne is praying for Barry K., Terry C., Alan G., Melody, Nick, Rick, and Beth. Karen is asking salvation for children Jason and Tiffany and grandchildren Summer, Austin, and Emmett. Barbara, salvation for son Jody. Mark Sherlock praying for 4-year-old Savannah and her mom Stephanie. Werner Bukes praying for Bob and Abby. Nancy is praying for Brandon and Michelle. Jill is asking salvation prayer for her husband Jerome and son and daughter. Kathy Hughes, son for salvation. Haley is praying for her friend Zane to get saved. Lulu asking for prayers for unsaved family members. Miles and his family need to get saved. In the Giacomino family, Dennis, Michelle, Lorenzo, Roman, Gianna, Jessica, Sophia, Justin, Blondie, Giovanni, Luca, Dominic, Deb, Maurice, Courtney, Josh, Gabe, Haley, Emma, Amy, Rochelle, Dan, Evie, Lincoln, Felicia, Ethan, Bob, Stacy, Lauren, Andrew, and Karen. That's a lot of people. Dawn D is praying for David. Paul Caulfield praying for his father, his sister, and his brother-in-law. Ramona Hayes is praying for Kimberly for salvation. Also, salvation prayers for grandchildren, William, Jason, David, and Amanda. Patrick is praying for Jack and Aaron. Chelsea B. is asking salvation prayers for her ex-husband, his parents, his sister, and her husband. Adam is praying for wife Shayna. Lori B. needs to get saved. Shira McPherson praying for Scott and daughter son Scott and daughter Nicole. Lori Ann's grandfather Irvin, Cheryl and Mark Fennell for salvation. Kevin Thompson asking salvation prayers for Father Tim, sister's husband John, Kylie's father and brother. Steve Graves needs to get saved. Elga, salvation. We're praying that many people in Ukraine would get saved where we sent those thousands of Bibles to. Rob is asking salvation prayers for his three kids, Max, Olivia, and Mikey. Phyllis T. is praying for her husband. Summer Robbins is praying for her dad, Brian A. Robbins, a U.S. Navy SEAL, to get saved. Todd Broom's brother Thad for salvation. Marie's friends, family, Ashley, Dayton, Alyssa, Kyle, Brandon, Grace, Micah, and Macy. Adam and Katie are asking salvation prayers for parents, sisters, brother-in-law, nieces, and nephews. Gary Tatterson is he's praying for his parents, his brother, and cousin. Joe Rusiello is asking salvation prayers for mother, sister, granddaughter, and in-laws. Ellen is praying for grandsons Braden and Logan. His Grace is praying for Rob, Summer, Sue, and Mike, Carl, Jason, Rachel, and Jason and Kerry. Lola's son William and his wife Lindsay for salvation. Hannah's mom needs to get saved. Bruce Bridges is praying for Elena and Melina. Anja is praying for Hanu, John, Charles, and Anna Lilsa. Dave Evans is praying for his friend Taylor. Viviana praying for her brother Javier Reyes. Scott Thaler needs to get saved. Adam and Katie asking salvation prayers for their neighbors Jason, Eddie, and Brian. Loretta Oates is praying for sons Kenny and Matthew. Jane is asking for salvation prayers for son Troy. Julie Lynn is praying for her friend Katie Ann. Chona is praying for Estefano Jr., Eugenia, her kids, Maricel and Cherry, and Chona's siblings, Julia and Maria Tricia. Chuck Edgerton praying for son Jacob and his mom, Lynette. Samantha is praying for Beth. Deborah Hare is praying for unsaved family members. Rita, unsaved family members. Teresa, unsaved family members. Lisa is praying for her father, John. Annabal, unsaved kids. Deborah Milton praying for son Billy. Hap Nightingale praying for sons Jimmy and Zach. Tricia is praying for her co-workers, officers Davis, Maury, Hancock, and Heath. Colonial Man praying for Don Huff, Claire, and Virginia. Norman Merkel is praying for daughter Kara, granddaughter Ava, son-in-law Stephen Matthews, and for his kid's mother, Lynette Crew. Little Toe is praying for Trevin. Henrik Larson praying for his parents Kygel and Elizabeth, his sister and her spouse, Ingrid and Frederick, his mom's aunt, Barrett. Roz is praying for lost family members. Brian needs to get saved. Andrew Whittington needs to get saved. Marisol Barcina, unsaved Catholic family members in Panama. Rapture 57, unsaved family members. Gail is praying for Jim. Shirley Meador is praying for her brother and his wife. Eric Brian Yee, salvation prayers for his parents, Anna and Narillo, as well as members of his family and co-workers. Tony the Carpenter and his son, Cole. Kenny B., unsaved family members. Rachel K., same thing. Sandra C., same thing. Marky Mark, same thing. There's a lot of that. Regina Danner, Kelly Chris, Cisco, Richard, Wayne, John, Sandra, Tamara, Hazel, and Jimmy. Angela's mom, Rosemary. Carol from Georgia, praying for her sister, cousins, and Aunt Joey. The Breda family for salvation up in Canada. Stacy Benson had a great conversation with her on the phone the other day, asking prayers for her husband's salvation. Kevin Swift is battling polycythemia vera. It's a blood disease. Harmon's son Michael battling pancreatic cancer. Dawn Martin, she says, best friend's stepbrother named Toby with a brain aneurysm. Catherine B., who has ongoing health issues. Pam with glaucoma. Katrina with breast cancer. Dave Evans has a friend, Diana, with lymph node cancer, and she's not saved. Chloe's dad has leukemia. Roz needs a healing from asthma and scoliosis. We're praying for Annetta, that she'll be able to get out of that wheelchair and walk again. Natalie's husband, Ken, for healing from esophageal cancer. Roz is praying for daughter-in-law with stage 3 cervical cancer. Bonnie is praying for 17-year-old Ariel Roberts with a brain tumor. Clayton Perry has ongoing cancer treatment needs. Robert Wiley with ALS. Dina's mom, Marcy, battling colon cancer. Dale Parks needs a healing from bladder cancer. Chelsea B. is praying for 6-year-old Camilla, who has neuroblastoma. Kathy Kelly would like prayers for sister-in-law Danya, who has been diagnosed with non-alcoholic cirrhosis of the liver, and her husband Dennis may be called to donate a portion of his liver, and pray for all of that. Stacy Benson, we're praying for her husband, and she possibly has, she doesn't know, but they are giving her tests regarding breast cancer. So keep Stacy in your prayers. Dana Bragdon, she reached out yesterday. She's having some issues with her heart. It's a condition known as SVT, which causes a fast heartbeat. And we're praying that God would give her a healing touch. Marriages, Stephanie and Andy, Angela and Jeff, Bianca and Derek. And the Lord knows the needs in all those situations. Kathy Giacomino, family members who are saved, but, well, they need to get on fire. Tammy, Pedro, Parker, Caden, Stephanie, Steve, Owen, and Ian. Lori Cordes is praying for Kevin to get out of a wheelchair. Chona's mom, Erlinda, health problems. Aunt Christina, a stroke. Her father, an illness. Rita has been ministering to her sister in Missouri with Alzheimer's. Penny would like prayers for healing from the beginning stages of dementia. Feely, prayers for her kids. They're not living for the Lord. Marie Shiroki would like prayers for her friend Jackie in a wheelchair with a serious back issue and needs a complete healing. Brooke Kettlecamp with ongoing special needs. Carrie is praying for husband Jerry with possible dementia. Amanda Mathias, we have been praying for her with ongoing health issues. Jackie Heyman would like prayers that she would be able to regain custody of her son in the Lord's time. Please remember our overseas pastors in the Philippines, Pastors John Reed, Danny, and Arnell. In Vietnam, Pastor Pho John. In India, Pastor David Mark. In Uganda, Irad Bairo Mumisho, Irad Bersh. Stephen McCarroll in the UK. Lou Ann, an American from Sarasota, Florida, ministering to the Muslims. And please remember our free Bible and gospel track program. Please remember our street preachers in Ohio, Jeffrey in Baton Rouge, Kyle and Reagan. In Canada, Werner Bukes, Paul and Peggy Caulfield, Adrian Breda, Greg Scott, Jeffrey Sapasinik. In Philadelphia, street preacher Marie. Joshua Gaskins with a tract ministry. Arthur Yees in South Africa. In Australia, Henry Biggs and Jennifer Thompson. Jeffrey Sapasinik in Ontario. Joe Ruscello in Eagle Pass. Mike Avram leaving Bibles at truck stops. Mia praying for street preacher named Jay. Justin Dobrovolsky, who's Night Watch Autist, and his friend Tom Fennessy for their street ministry up in our sister nation of Canada. This is a big one. Eminem has a huge praise report. We've been praying for Tim Kelly, who was in a car accident with traumatic brain injury. And he was on a ventilator in the hospital and just he was in bad shape. But his brain injury has been healed. And he thanks NTEB for their constant prayers to bring about his healing. And we have been praying for him on every program for many months now. And I love, love, love when we can move it from the prayer column to the praise report column. That's one of my favorite things. Herb, please join me in prayer for God's continued healing and care for my dad, Herb Jr. Specifically, he had a medical emergency and spent several days unconscious on the floor with a large-scale wound on his back. Since my dad was found in his home by rescue workers, God has worked many miracles to bring him back from critical condition. So please pray for my dad's healing according to God's will. Amen. And we absolutely are. We're praying for Charlton's family today. The memorial service was yesterday for his brother. And Charlton reached out to me. And the Lord just really, really has been working through Charlton and through that whole situation with his brother, Martin. And Charlton told me yesterday that they had a good service. And the highlight of that service was a powerful sermon that if anybody in the audience wasn't saved, then they sure don't have an excuse on Judgment Day. And Charlton said that the preacher was a black minister And he stirred the pot with a voice that was very similar to that clip that we play from the movie Sunday Morning Rapture. And nothing like a black preacher to stir the pot. And God has uniquely gifted the black preacher with that special voice that can really drive a message home. And we just pray for Charlton's family and everybody involved. We pray that people would get saved. And they all know where Martin is. Martin was saved. He's home with the Lord. But now we got to work on the rest of the family. Derek O'Reilly, having two moles removed this week. Please pray that all goes well. Amen. We will. Rachel K., thank you for your prayers about my ankle. I was told that I have Achilles tendonitis, but I am on the mend. Amen. Nicole says, continue prayer for my older teen son, Miles. He has pulled away from his closeness with God. Used to say that he was called to preach, but now he's part of the party crowd. And all I can say is I've been there, I've done that. And I know that if God's hand is on him, God will bring him safely through to the other side, because the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And please pray for Nicole's son, Miles. Blaine, please pray that God opens a door so I can get into some government housing. Amen. Shannon, please pray for me and the entire NTEB ministry for continued strength, wisdom, and blessings. Jill says, please pray that God will bring along buyers for two of my travel trailers and my Dodge truck. Amen. Marie Sim, praying for my son and family and youngest daughter Tracy for salvation. Kenny says, please pray for friends and family to be saved, and that I would be more motivated to pray and read the Bible. Well, you know, there's an old Southern expression, Lord, make me willing to be willing. we'll absolutely pray, brother, but the only person who can get you more motivated to pray and read the Bible is you. And we'll be praying that you will motivate yourself, absolutely. And I've struggled with that. And a lot of the times I find myself stuck in neutral. And I am a classic procrastinator. And so I understand the feeling of wanting to get motivated. You just got to shake off the dust. You got to jump in, man. That's what you got to do. And we'll be praying for that. Jericho Daly, please pray for MZNO and grandchildren being withheld from their family. Trisha, please pray for Bibles behind bars and scriptures for soldiers. Amen. Regina Danner, prayers to people that are saved but need to be woke up and get on fire for the Lord. Amen. Erad Byro Mumishu, prayer request. Please pray for Good Child Missions Children's Christmas Dinner in Uganda. Please pray for all the NTEB family that God will keep us in one accord and add more people to our salvation boat. Amen, brother. Berta Crabb, praise report. Travin actually asked for the Bible we got for him. Travin is 14 years old. Love it when the young kids begin to read the Bible and pray. That's so encouraging. Amen. Julia, please pray for my mother with a leaky heart valve. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm so encouraged by all the praise reports today. And we do come before you with an open heart. And Father God, on our best day, our best works are filthy rags. And we can never look to our own righteousness. And we ask you to wash us clean yet again. Put us under that blood shower, Lord, and take away our sin and our stain, and set our feet upon the solid rock that is Jesus Christ, and hear our prayers and hear our pleas and accept our praise, Lord, for you alone are worthy of our prayer and our praise. And Lord, for all these people who need to get saved, over 160 people, we ask that you work and move and save as only you can. For people who need a healing, people who need restoration, people who need to get out of the bottle, off of drugs, stop smoking, whatever the case may be, Lord, we ask you to step in and do it and get it done. And Father God, we thank you. We praise you. And Lord, we want to see even more praise reports, and we'll give you all the honor and all the glory for it, because you are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. I love our prayer time. I love our prayer list. And it's, you know, one day you might find yourself on that list. And I want to ask you a question. How important would it be that other people are praying for you should the day come that you are on the prayer list? You might want to think about that, because that's how important that prayer list is. The beating heart of any real Bible ministry, the beating heart has always been and will always be the prayer of God's people to God to step in, take control, and get something done for his glory, for our good, in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll be right back with the message after this.
Crossing the calm sea with Jesus, the disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but he was asleep in the stern. Does he not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. Jesus arose when they called him and said to them, where is your faith?
Because you prayed all night, 'cause you held on with all of your might. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. Oh, he knows your voice. Lift your head. Child, your cries have awoken the Master.
It hit you without any warning. The storm of your life had begun. Seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You've cried out for help from the Savior, and you know you can't give up now.
Because you prayed all night, because you held on
fast asleep. The winds are so deadly, the water's so deep, but try to be patient, 'cause soon he'll bring peace.
Just one word from his voice, and it all must cease.
Every time I play that song, it always reminds me of that sermon that we did, I guess, about a year ago. Actually, I don't think it was a sermon. It might have been from a Bible study. Matthew 14, verses 30 and 31. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And you remember from that Bible study last year when we looked at the last three words of Matthew 14:30, and we looked at the first three words of Matthew 14:31, and we saw this: "Lord, save me," and immediately Jesus. Man, that's good preaching. And God just kind of, that wasn't part of our study, that wasn't part of our message. God just kind of snuck that in and just gave us a little bit of a handful of purpose there. And that has stayed with me so much. I have it on my refrigerator door. And every single day I look at that and I say, "Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus. Amen. 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 That's good preaching. All right. Open up your Bibles today to Psalm 119, verses 161 and 162. And while you're turning there, today, Sunday, November 13th, they're up on Mount Sinai in Egypt, and they're holding a climate repentance ceremony, and they are unveiling the 10 new commandments for an eco-friendly world. They call them the 10 Universal Climate Principles. And if you've been listening to our podcast on a regular basis, we were one of the very first people to talk about this story. And since that, we kind of broke the news about 2 weeks ago, a lot of people send me this story like every day. "Can you believe what they're doing in Egypt?" I'm like, yeah, we talked about this weeks ago. So if you're a regular listener to the Prophecy News podcast, you are a highly informed individual, because the Lord is just, he just seems to be pleased to give us, breaking news a little bit before the rest of everybody else. And we thank him for that. But this group, the Interfaith Council for Sustainable Development, they want to inspire and unleash the power of religion to change the world. And Revelation 13, Revelation 17, Revelation 18 shows you all about how religion is going to change the world, and it's going to change the world for the worse. There is no question about that. It is going to change the world for the worse. Peggy just sent me a praise report. "God healed my mom of her cancer, and she is thankful for all the prayers of everybody from NTEB." Amen, Peggy and Paul Caulfield. We rejoice with you. Absolutely. That is a lot of praise reports today. Jeanette says that her cousin Andrew asked for a King James Bible yesterday, so she sent him one from our bookstore. And please keep her cousin Andrew in your prayers. But today, on Mount Sinai in Egypt, the New World Order and the One World Religion is alive and well, and they're getting some stuff done today. And so we have to make sure that we are about our Father's business, and his business is the saving of souls. His business is the preaching and teaching of the gospel of the grace of God. And Paul said to Timothy, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season," and that's what we're called to do. And so if the New World Order is going to be working overtime, and the One World Religion is going to be working overtime, and Chrislam has been ratified and codified, how much more should you and I be working as well? A lot of people haven't gotten the news yet today about politics in America. The United States Senate has been lost. The Democrats will have control of the United States Senate. And what looked like a sure bet just a couple of days ago, control of the Congress, is now up for grabs. So, and we talked about this on the Prophecy News podcast. If you were waiting for a red wave, I told you multiple times the red wave was not coming. I went out, I voted, I didn't sit back and do nothing. But I told you that the red wave wasn't going to come, and if it did come, it wasn't going to make you happy anyway. But as it turns out, instead of the American people rising up for freedom and liberty, the powers of darkness are twice as strong as they were before Tuesday. And so why am I talking about the One World Religion, the New World Order, and American politics on a Sunday morning message? Well, I'm talking about these things because you and I need to remind ourselves why we are still here, why God has left us here, and what it is that we're supposed to be doing while we wait. In Psalm 119, verses 161 and 162, we read this: "Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." Heavenly Father, we commit this time to you, and God, I ask you to take control of this virtual pulpit, and Lord, I just ask that you enable me to give the message that you put on my heart. This is a subject that is near and dear to my heart, and I just pray, Father God, if there's anybody lost today, that something will be said and done to lead a lost soul to you. And for those of us that are saved, I pray that something will be said and done to set us on fire to get something done for you in these last days. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Psalm 119, 161, verse 162. "But my heart standeth in awe of thy word." Let me tell you how I came to meet the King James Bible. And if you're just tuning in, the title of my message is "In Awe of Thy Word, A Loving Defense of the King James Authorized Version 1611 Holy Bible." Let me tell you how I came to be introduced to the King James Bible. I had an older brother who died. December 4th will be the 34th anniversary of his death. And I had a brother that died, and that sent me into spiritual panic. I was a lifelong Catholic. I was 28 years old. I was living the rock star lifestyle out in Hollywood, and all of a sudden, God upset my apple cart, and my brother died, and it was a huge, huge deal to me. He was my best friend. He was my confidant, and when he died, the wheels came off of my own personal bus, and I went on to what I called my spiritual journey. I've shared this story before, so I'll just be brief with the details. But I started my spiritual journey, and it took me to Buddhism. It took me to New Age. It took me to Mormonism. It took me to Jehovah's Witness. Now, you might say to me, "But brother, didn't you always tell me that before you got saved, you were a 30-year Catholic?" Yep, that's exactly right. I went to the Catholics first. I'll never forget talking with Father Mike after my brother had died, and I had tears in my eyes. I was all broken up to pieces, and I really needed Father Mike to give me some comforting words. He didn't have any comforting words for me, because the question that I asked him is not a question that any Catholic priest, if they're honest, can comfort you with. I turned to Father Mike, who had known me since the first grade, and I said, "Is my brother in heaven?" And his honest answer was that Father Mike did not know. And that, to me, after 12 years of Catholic school, that was quite the eye-opener, that the church that's supposed to be founded on the vicar of Christ, and when they speak from the throne that they are infallible, and they are the one church, the one true church, and yet they cannot tell you with any degree of certainty when your loved one dies where they went. So you can imagine my confusion. I thought it would have been a slam dunk. But in retrospect, I'm very grateful to Father Mike for telling me the truth. Because had he lied to me and told me what I wanted to hear, perhaps I would not have gone on my spiritual journey. So he didn't know the answer, but I, to this day, I'm thankful for his honesty. And I went on a spiritual journey, and I went everywhere. And if I met somebody who said that they were spiritual, I said, "Okay, let's pour a cup of coffee, me and you, let's sit down, we're going to talk about it. I want to ask you questions. I want to know who is God, and where is God, and how can I know him?" But Buddhism didn't have that answer. Mormonism didn't have that answer. Jehovah's Witness didn't have that answer. Roman Catholic Church didn't have the answer. And so I started getting discouraged with my search. Finally, I found myself in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And on that particular night, they were talking about step number 3, where we come to a knowledge of God as we understand him. And that just didn't sit right with me. And I got home and I started thinking about that. And I thought to myself, that can't be right. If there's, at the time, 5.5 billion people on the face of the earth, how can God exist as I understand him and you understand him? That wouldn't be a very definitive God. That would be a subjective God, not an objective God. And so I couldn't sleep that night. And then all of a sudden, I got this thought in my head about there being a Bible downstairs in my parents' bedroom, basement. And I went downstairs at midnight with the flashlight, and I'm looking in all the boxes trying to find that Bible. And in the last box, in the back of the last box, I found what I was looking for. I found that old blackback King James Authorized Version 1611 Holy Bible that my dad had taken from a hotel room about 20 years earlier. And I brought that book up to my bedroom, and I didn't know where to turn. And I had watched a lot of football, and so John 3:16 was in my head. And I turned to John 3:16, and I read this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I read those words, and I trembled just a little bit, because I knew that I was holding something in my hand that was not like Buddhism. That was not like Mormonism or Jehovah's Witness. It was not like the Roman Catholic Church. I didn't just have a Bible, and I didn't know it at the time. I had the Bible. Isaiah chapter 66 verses 1 and 2 say, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord." And I said all that to say this, but to this man will I look. I want you to think about what I'm about to tell you. "But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." And that night on March 14th of 1991, I held that old King James Bible that came to me through my dad from a free Bible program. think about that. From a free Bible program. And I trembled at his word, and I received that word that night. I received the engrafted word, the Bible says, that was able to save my soul. And on that particular night, I bowed my head and I prayed to God and I asked him to save me, and he did. And he sealed me onto the day of redemption, and I got saved on a King James 1611 authorized version Holy Bible from a free Bible program. Now, I had no idea at the time that there was a controversy. I had no idea that people were debating about different Bible versions. Now, you might say to me, "Didn't you go to Catholic school for 12 years? Didn't you have a Bible for 12 years?" I did. I had Good News for Modern Man. And I picked up that book plenty of times. I never trembled at that word. And God never spoke to me through that word. Now, could you get saved on Good News for Modern Man? Sure you could, but I didn't. It had no power for me. But I'll tell you something, when I held that King James Bible in my hand and I read those words, I read them out loud, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever," and I realized right away that was me. And I received it, and I accepted it, and I believed it every day since then. Now, I had no idea about the modern versions. I had no idea about how they dumb things down and they downgrade you. Let me show you something. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Acts 1:3 says, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." If you have a King James Bible, you have many infallible proofs. But if you have an NIV Bible or an ESV Bible, this is what you have. "After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive." Is convincing the same thing as infallible? Infallible meaning that it is incapable of error? Convincing is what a salesman does for you. They convince you to buy that new washer dryer. They convince you to buy that new car that you may or may not need. That's what salespeople do. They convince you. But in Acts 1:3 in the King James Bible, Jesus is presenting many infallible proofs. Why would you want to be downgraded like that? How about this in John chapter 14, verse 2? John chapter 14, verse 2. people come into our bookstore from time to time, and they are a little miffed when we tell them that we only sell the King James Bible. I had a guy say to me one time, well, okay, I get it. You don't have any King James Bibles for sale, but you're a bookstore. You can order Bibles. Can I order a top-of-the-line ESV study Bible from you? And I turned to him without batting an eye, without missing a beat. I said, no, sir, we can't do that for you either. And he was shocked. He said, you won't order me an ESV Bible? And I said, no, we won't do that either. And then I showed him all of the wonderful King James Bibles that we had. But he remained unconvinced. Well, John 14:2 in your King James Bible, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, I try my very best to not look at the lifestyles of the rich and famous. But every once in a while, something will pop up on my screen and I'll see some really beautiful house that some rich celebrity has, like Joel Osteen or Creflo Dollar or the rest of those Hollywood people like Kenneth Copeland. And I'll be honest with you, when I look at Joel Osteen's 24,000 square foot home with the 15 bathrooms, I would like to live in a house like that, and you would too. But I don't work towards that. I don't lust after that. I don't think about that. But from time to time, I'll be honest with you, when I see the big fancy mansions and some of them are beachfront, they all have these pools, and I think to myself, yeah, that would be great to have a mansion. Well, I have a mansion, I just don't have it right now. In my Father's house are many mansions. Amen. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, we don't need to see a picture to understand what a mansion is. In every generation for the last 6,000 years, if you were to talk about a mansion, people would know exactly what you were talking about. It would be a big, fancy, highly accommodated, wonderful, beautiful dwelling place. Well, John 14:2 in the NIV, the ESV, the Legacy Study Bible, wherever you turn, you've had a serious downgrade in accommodations. John 14:2 in the NIV Bible. My Father's house has many rooms. Huh. Well, the pantry is a room. The garage is a room. The closet is a room. The spare guest bedroom is a room. How do you know what type of rooms are in my Father's house? If you have an NIV Bible, you are left to wonder, is it going to be a nice room? Is it going to be big? Is it going to be small? What type of room is it going to be? Well, if you have a King James Bible, you know what type of room it's going to be. It's going to be a mansion. Let me give you one more. Ecclesiastes 8:4. Ecclesiastes 8:4. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Do you want power with God? Then you've got to have God's word. If you don't have God's word, you're not going to have that power. And Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power. Now, fun fact, King James, well, he was a king over two kingdoms. He was the king over Scotland, and he was king over England. He was King James VI over Scotland and King James I over England. 6 plus 1 is 7. That's pretty good. Jesus Christ is the king over two kingdoms. He is the king over the kingdom of heaven, an earthly, physical, visible, literal kingdom. And he's the king over the kingdom of God, which is a spiritual kingdom. James is a Hebrew name. It comes from the Hebrew word Jacob or Yaakabu, where the word of a king is, there is power. Do you have the word of a king? I do. I'm preaching to you from a word of a king right now. In the NIV Bible, the same verse, Ecclesiastes 8:4 in the NIV, since a king's word is supreme, who can say to him, what are you doing? Now, again, if you don't have the King James Bible, you don't have power. You just simply have the general statement that a king's word is supreme. But did you know that in the Bible there's all types of kings? King Nebuchadnezzar was a very different king from King David. King David was a very, very different king from King Saul, who died after consulting a fortune teller, the witch at Endor, and he died and went straight to hell. Would you want to have the type of power that was associated with the reign of King Saul? I don't think you would. I wouldn't. Would you like to have the type of power of King Nebuchadnezzar, who was a type of Antichrist? No, I don't think I would want to have that king's word. King Nebuchadnezzar, his word was supreme, but he was a type of Antichrist. King Saul's word was supreme, but he died and went to hell. If you have the King James Bible, then you have the word of a king. And because you have the word of a king, you have power. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, Hebrews 4:12, the Bible says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's what you have when you have a King James Bible. You don't have that. And you can get mad. And you can say that I'm being a narrow-minded fundamentalist. But if you don't have the word of a king, you don't have power, because it's not in your Bible. And so what are we talking about today? We are talking about the place where God has preserved his word. The Bible says this in Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And then it says in Psalm 12, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. The Bible has been in seven major languages: Aramaic, Hebrew, Greek, Old Syriac, Old Latin, Old German. That's six. And then Old English, that's number seven. If you have a King James Bible, you have a Bible that has been purified in the furnace of earth seven times. And then the Bible says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, I take that to mean the King James Bible, published in 1611, which just coincidentally happens to be the biggest and best-selling book of all time. Now, you might say to me that right now the best-selling Bible is either the NIV or the ESV. Well, that's only in the last couple of decades. If you were to live for another 200 years, the NIV, the ESV, the Good News for Modern Man, combined would not outsell the King James Bible. And there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is because those words, which were settled in heaven and purified on earth seven times, have been preserved from that generation forever. Here's another fun fact for you. In 1605, there was something called the Gunpowder Plot. And the Gunpowder Plot was a man by the name of Guy Fawkes, and he was a Jesuit, and he was charged with hatching a conspiracy to blow up the Parliament and to kill King James. Now, why would they want to blow up the Parliament building? Why would they want to murder the King of England? Well, they had one overarching reason, and that was to stop the publication of the King James Bible. They weren't successful, obviously. That word was published, and if you come into our bookstore, I can take you to the front of our bookstore and I can show you a King James 1611 fifth printing Bible, and you can open up the lid of that case and you can pick that book up. I'll let you do it. And you can sit down and you can have a cup of coffee and you can read from the original King James Bible in our bookstore, and you can see that what they published back in 1611 is exactly the same when you open up your Ruckman Reference Bible or your Common Man's Bible or your Gideon's King James Bible, if they still make one. Hasn't changed a single bit. Now, I want to talk to you for just a few moments today. That was all just kind of setting the table. I want to talk to you for just a few moments today about the King James Bible and what a blessing it is that we have it, what a blessing it is that God has raised us up to have a free Bible program, Scriptures for Soldiers, Bibles Behind Bars, our free Bible program. I want you to stop and think what a blessing it is that not only has God given us his word and purified it seven times and preserved it after the purification process was complete, but do you realize what a holy charge that it is? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to show you what a charge is in the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 4 says this. Paul's talking to Timothy, and he says, "Hey, Tim, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word." Well, how can you preach the word if you don't have the word? If you were to talk to any of the Greek and Hebrew scholars, they would tell you that they believe that the Bible is infallible in the original scriptures. Just so happens that nobody has the original scriptures. Paul didn't have the original Old Testament scriptures. And very, very shortly after he wrote his 13 books of the New Testament, it almost immediately went into copies. Nobody thought to preserve the originals because it doesn't work that way. So if you were to talk to any Greek and Hebrew scholar, they would tell you that one version is just as good as another and blah, blah, blah. But you and I both know that that's not true. One version is not as good as another. And when you boil it all down, there is only one Bible. Now, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been saved, coming up on 32 years I've been saved. And I have read that book through good times and bad times. I have read that book through mountaintop highs and valley lows. And that book has never ceased to impress me with its power. And every time I pick up that book, I always hear from God. God talks back to me in some way, in some form, on some level. And so today, I want you to be cognizant, to actively remember what a blessing that it is that you believe that the King James Bible is God's preserved word. I was talking in the first hour of today's service, and I was telling you that over the years, I've watched dozens and dozens and dozens of people fall away, and they get off that King James Bible. And no matter how many times I've seen that happen, the next thing that takes place is always the same, and it never changes. I have never, ever, one time in 31 years, seen somebody get off that King James Bible and then get smarter. I have never one time seen somebody who dropped the King James Bible and suddenly started to preach better, suddenly started to write better articles about the Bible. I have never seen that happen one single time. But what I have seen, I have seen people who have gotten off that King James Bible, and all of a sudden, everything becomes relative. Everything becomes this kind of wishy-washy Laodicean agnosticism that nobody can really know, and that all the Bible versions are equally valid. And when you get off that King James Bible, the first thing that you lose is your platform of absolute truth. And if you think that that's a narrow-minded perspective, too bad. That is the truth. That is something that I have seen and verified with empirical evidence over the last 31 years, that when I have seen people abandon the King James Bible, their ministry never gets better. The amount of personal work that they do goes down, not up, and they become wise in their own conceits, as Paul says in Romans chapter 1. You see, because when you believe the King James Bible, that is a humbling book. And that King James Bible shows you what you are. And there is no doubt about it. And when you read the new versions, they begin to kind of cover that stuff up, and they start trying to air condition hell, and they try to make everything, just sound a little bit better, a little bit nicer. In Genesis 3:5, and I'm talking about the New King James Bible. In Genesis 3:5, Satan is talking with Eve, and he says this: "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." The King James Bible gives it to you straight. Satan is telling Eve, you want to become a fallen angel? Eat the fruit. Ye shall be as gods, lowercase g and plural. The fallen angels were all gods. You know what the New King James Bible tells you? Genesis 3:5. "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God," capital G, "knowing good and evil." Now, let me ask you a question. When Eve ate the fruit of the vine, did she become like God in heaven? No, she was already like God. And Adam was already like God. You know what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 5? Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created." Somebody asked me one time, will there be women in heaven? Absolutely. Because God created man in his image, And Genesis 5 tells you that God created woman in the image of God. So, Genesis 3:5, Satan tells Eve, you want to become a fallen angel? Eat the fruit. But in the New King James Bible, we have Satan saying to Eve, well, you eat that fruit and you're going to be like God. Now, is that a Bible that you can trust? How about this in 1 Chronicles 29:15? 1 Chronicles 29:15. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. That same passage in the New King James Bible says, for we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. That's not what the King James Bible says. The King James Bible says that our days on the earth are a shadow and there is none abiding. It doesn't say that they were without hope. Jesus Christ has always been the hope of his people. But the New King James Bible takes that away from you. How about this one from Proverbs 18:8? The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. You know why God hates gossip? You know why God hates it when people are backbiting and when Christians talk about other Christians behind their back? And did you hear what so-and-so did? And, you know, did you hear about this? And did you hear that so-and-so said this? The King James Bible says that the words of a talebearer, of a gossiper, are as wounds. And those words can hurt. The Bible says that the tongue is a little member, but it is set on fire of hell. And the words of a talebearer are wounding, the Bible says, the King James Bible says. But not in the New King James Bible. Proverbs 18:8, the words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. Is that the same thing as being wounded? What visual picture did you just have when I said the words tasty trifles? Somebody opening up a box of expensive candy? Ooh, which one shall I pick out next? That's the picture in my head when I hear tasty trifles. But what's the picture that you have in your head when you read that the words of a talebearer are as wounds? Doesn't the Bible say about Jesus on the cross, what are these wounds in my hands that I have received in the house of my friends? Does that sound like a tasty trifle to you? Are you starting to see that all Bibles are not created equal? Are you starting to see that one Bible can bless you, but another Bible can withhold blessing from you? I'll give you one more, and I'm almost done. 1 Corinthians 11:1. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be ye followers of me, Paul says, even as I also am of Christ. That's not what it says in the New King James. In the New King James, you have gone from being a follower to being an imitator. 1 Corinthians 11:1 in the New King James Bible says, imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. Is that what you want to be? You want to be an imitation? Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him pick up his cross daily and deny himself. We are not called to imitate Jesus Christ. We are called to follow him. We are called to walk in his steps. We are not called to be imitators. Have you ever been to New York City? Have you ever walked up and down Fifth Avenue? Have you ever seen the fake watches? The fake Rolex watches? They're imitations of the real thing. Have you ever bought one of those watches? I did once back in my 20s. I'm like, wow, this watch looks pretty good. I can have a big fancy watch for 10 bucks. That watch didn't even last 5 days. Because not only was it an imitation of an actual watch, it wasn't even a good imitation. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Do you know who imitates Jesus Christ? The devil. Do you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, or do you want to be a follower of Satan? 2 Corinthians 13 through 15. 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. Paul says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light by imitating the real thing. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Now, if you think that the King James Bible is just as good as any other Bible, you are greatly deceived. I've given you a couple of dozen examples this morning. But you can see that even with the New King James Bible, it is leading you astray. It is leading you away from truth. It is not leading you into truth. And so as you go about your day today, and maybe you've never looked at it like this, but I want you, when you pray to God, I want you to thank him for giving you absolute truth, for opening your eyes to the fact that all Bibles are not created equal, and all Bibles don't lead you into the same truth, and all Bibles don't lead you to the same place, and all Bibles don't teach you the same thing. I said at the start of this program that there is only one thing that all the Bibles have in common, and that is that they are all different. So, if you believe that God has preserved his word, then you have to tell me where is the one place that God has preserved it. And you have to tell me how you can defend that. Because if you say that God has preserved his word in the NIV, I can demolish that argument in 30 seconds. And you could say the ESV, the LSB, the Douay-Rheims Bible, doesn't matter which version that you pick. I can demolish that in under 1 minute. But you can't show me an error in the King James Bible. You can't show me a mistake in the King James Bible. And that's why we don't simply have a free Bible program. We have a free King James Bible program. I got an email from a chaplain in a prison on Friday morning. And that chaplain asked me if we could send Catholic Bibles. And I wrote back to him, to this Catholic chaplain, and I said, "Hey, we'll be very, very happy to send you as many King James Bibles as you would like." And you know what that Catholic chaplain wrote back? He said, "I'm very sorry, but I cannot accept the King James Bible." So here you have a Catholic chaplain who is reaching out to a free Bible program, and I said to this Catholic chaplain, we'll be happy to send you King James Bibles, and he said no to free Bibles. And you think all Bibles are created equal? You are deceived if you think that. That Catholic priest, that lost Catholic chaplain, he knows that the King James Bible is not like his Douay Rheims Bible. He knows that that King James Bible has a power that his Bibles don't have, and he's afraid of that power, and he doesn't want that power. He said no to free Bibles because they were King James Bibles. And honestly, I can't think of any other better illustration than that. And that happened on Friday. I can't think of any other better illustration than that to show you that the King James Bible is not like any other Bible. Because where the word of a king is, there is power. Dr. Ruckman used to say that that King James Bible was the most treacherous, the most deceptive book. It was like holding an atomic bomb in your hands. And if you're a new Christian, you might have to be around for a little while to understand that statement. That's a statement that he made after many decades in ministry. And seeing some of the things that we're talking about today. But if you've been around for a while, you know that that book is like holding an atom bomb in your hand. You know, the Bible says about Jesus Christ that whoever this stone falls upon, it's going to grind them to powder. But if you fall on that stone, God's going to break you and remake you. And that King James Bible, let me tell you something. When I came to get saved 31 years ago, and I had nothing to offer God, I was really at the end of my rope. I was starting to believe that God was just unknowable. And God put a copy of that atomic bomb in my hand. And it blessed me, and it showed me the path of salvation. And if you're listening to this program, and you're not saved, I want you to go to BibleBeliever.com and click on the link that says free. Lori will put the link into the chat room. But I want you to go to BibleBeliever.com if you're not saved. If you're not saved, I want you to go to BibleBeliever.com, and we want to send you a free Bible anywhere in the world. Just go to BibleBeliever.com and click on the link that says free, and all you have to do is give me your name, your address. You will not be put on a mailing list. We won't bother you in any way, shape, or form. We won't try to sell you anything. But just go to BibleBeliever.com and click on the link that says free, and we're going to send you a King James Bible, a really nice $25 King James Study Bible, no charge, no strings attached, because that's how strongly we feel about putting the King James Bible into the hands of anybody and everybody that we possibly can. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered here today and the hundreds of people listening live and the thousands more that will listen in the archives. And Father God, bring them in by the dozens and by the hundreds for salvation. And bring in the saved ones, Lord, and set them on fire to get something done for you in these last times. C.T. Studd said, only one life 'twill soon be passed, but only what's done for Christ will last. And Father God, use us and let us leave it all on the field. Lord, we are fourth quarter Christians, and we just want to get something done for you. And Father God, we thank you for your preserved, infallible, inspired King James Bible. And Lord, it is just such a blessing to us. Without that book, we wouldn't know you. And that's why you say that you have placed that word above even your name. Because without that book, no one could ever know you. And so we thank you and we praise you. And we give you all the glory, Lord, because you are absolutely worth it. And we say all these things and do all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, everybody, for being part of this Sunday service. I hope that this little message on the King James Bible inspired you and reinvigorated your faith in the King James Bible. Go to BibleBeliever.com and go to the section called Defending the KJB and check out some of the great books that we have there that will help you to understand the differences between the Bibles. And join us tonight when we're going to be looking in our Bible study about the Hebrew Roots Movement, why that is not a it is not biblical. And we're going to be looking at the Yahweh Movement, and we're going to show you why that is not biblical, and all that and more on tonight's Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, everybody. We'll see you tonight.
So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown. Suffer scorn and scoffing, so send I you to toil for me alone.
So send I you to leave your life's ambition, to die to dear desire, self will resign.
So send I you
to lose your life in mine.
So send I you to hearts made hard by hatred, to eyes made blind because they will not see, to spend though it be blood, to spend and spare not. So send I you to taste of Calvary.